Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
Who are you? Where are you going? Two very important questions that every one of us need to have an answer for. You know, Jesus always knew who he was, and he knew where he was going. He knew his mission in life. He said this, I've come from the Father and have come into the world, and again I leave the world and I go to the Father. He knew exactly where he came from. He knew who he was. He also knew where he was going. I love what he said to his mother and father when he was just 12 years old. Do you remember? He was there in the temple. And he looked up at them and they said, you know, where have you been? Don't you know we've been worried about you? And as he looked at them, he said, didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? You see, Jesus knew who he was. He knew his mission in life. And we are to be constantly mindful of who we are, why we are here, and just where we're going. Those are important things that every one of us as children of God need to know. In 1 John chapter 3, it says this, Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Then it says, Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. We understand that the world doesn't understand us. He doesn't know us. It doesn't know that you can become a child of God. And that's foreign to them. But what's sad is when Christians don't understand fully that they're a child of God. And it goes on in 1 John 3. He goes on, he says, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. We are right now children of God. It's not something we're going to become. If you're a Christian today, if you're born again into the family of God, you are right now his child. You're not going to become his child when you get to heaven. You are his child the moment you accept Christ into your life. And again, it says here in Romans 8:14, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons, and I might add, daughters of God. And it goes on, The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, joint heirs of God, or heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we are children of God. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to bear witness to our spirit that we are God's children. I want to share with you something that changed my Christian life. And this is my second Bible. My first Bible I don't have anymore. But when I first became a Christian, my goal was to read the Bible cover to cover. And I didn't start, by the way, I should mention this. I did not start in Genesis and go through to Revelation. I've done that one time in over 40 years as a Christian, and I will never do that again. I don't recommend that, but I mean, if that's what you feel led to do, God bless you. But what I did was I read, you know, a book at a time, different kind of Old Testament, New Testament, all over the Bible, as I felt led and by the Lord to read, you know, that book or this book or whatever. And I kept track of it. So after a year time, I completed reading the Bible one time. It's kind of sad. I remember coming to the end of it, and it's like, God, there's no more. Oh, man, what do I do now? That's right about the time the Mormons show up at your door. It's true. And they showed up at my door. But that wasn't a problem for me. But, I mean, they want to tell you about all these other revelations. The Lord told me, he says, go back and read the parts you didn't underline. There's a whole lot I didn't underline. But you'll see there's a whole lot I underlined. This is my second Bible, and I keep this one not because of the parts that are underlined. It's for those green parts. Those green verses mean a lot to me, and they took me a long time. Here's another one on this page. There's another one on that page. They're all over the Bible. There's two on that page. It took me a long time to go through and highlight these verses. But these verses that are highlighted in green speak about who I am as a child of God, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you some right here. By him, by Christ, therefore, let us offer sacrifice to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus, in whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so in this Bible, I took the time to highlight and to read and reread, meditate and ponder on, pray through, and we're going to talk a little bit about how you pray through these things in next week's message, the truths of Scripture. And so these are things that you would go through your Bible, verses that tell us who we are in Christ or in him or in the Beloved or in whom or by Christ or by him, by himself, by his blood, by whom, from whom, of Christ, of him, through Christ, through him, with Christ, with him, in his name, and so on. All these things that tell us who we are, what we have, and what God's done in Christ Jesus literally changed my life. And I think it'll change your life too. It teaches you how to pray, and it teaches you how to pray spiritual prayers and spiritual warfare. Amen? The key point here is this. Some of the things that the Bible says about you will seem unbelievable to you. In fact, if it doesn't, then you don't understand what it's saying. Some of the scriptures I'm going to share with you today are unbelievable to our natural mind, to our natural carnal mind, our earthly mind. They're unbelievable. They're otherworldly, you might say. This is a message from God given to us from heaven itself. Now, these things were a mystery, we were told. In the Old Testament times, the things we're studying today, being in Christ and everything, that was a total mystery in Old Testament times. But they've been revealed to us now. We understand them now. They're not a mystery to us now. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to take some time and ponder. We're going to take some time and meditate. Take some time and allow the Word of God, these truths from His Word, to just literally wash us, to refresh us, to cleanse us like water. The Word is the water. And so just allowing God's Word to cleanse our hearts and our minds. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would come, that you would speak to us in this series. Lord, that you would help us to know you in greater ways. And Lord, we ask, Father, that your word would come alive to our hearts and minds this morning. Lord, that you would help us to know you better and to understand what you've done for us and who we are now as new creatures in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Ladies, have you ever had one of those recipes that you kind of looked in the internet or you looked in a cookbook or saw somewhere and you just go, that is incredible. And you went home and you decide you're going to make that recipe and it didn't turn out anything like what you thought it was going to turn out like. In fact, The dog didn't even want to eat it, let alone your family. Yeah, it happens to everybody. Everyone, every cook. I don't know a cook that it doesn't happen to. It just doesn't turn out the way you had hoped it turned out. And if you've got a wise husband, he says, don't worry, honey. We're calling Papa John's. We're having pizza tonight, right? Now, guys, have you ever bought that gift that you thought was going to be just the cat's pajamas? You know, it's just like, she's just going to flip over this, and it didn't go over like you thought it did? Kind of like a vacuum cleaner for her birthday, and she opens it up and says, thank you? And then she tells you, is this it? This is my birthday present? You better call Papa John's, because I ain't cooking no more for you, right? Well, that's what this message is kind of like, okay? This message is very different than any message I've ever done. I had this kind of idea, this thing brewing in my heart, and I've been wanting to do this series. It's just, I don't know, a three-part series. We're in part number two. We started last week with kind of an introduction to this. I've been wanting to do this for a few months, and I've been meditating about how to present all these scriptures in a way that isn't totally overwhelming, and in a way that really can percolate down into our hearts and into our minds. So if it comes off, great. It's the best thing I've ever cooked. If it doesn't come off, oh well. We'll call Papa John's next week, right? So let's talk about who we are in Christ, but who we were without Christ, okay? So with Christ is very different than without Christ. Without Christ, I was a sinner. You were a sinner. And we were dead. We were dead in sin without Christ. Ah, but with Christ, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven with Christ. Now, without Christ, I was broken and I was a mess. Weren't we all? But now, in Christ Jesus, I am reconciled. Without Christ, I was in rebellion against God. But with Christ, now I'm justified before God. Without Christ, I was living only for myself. Weren't we all? All about me. But now I've come into Christ, and with Christ, I am now part of the family of God. Wow. I've been accepted into God's family. What a difference Jesus makes in our life. Can I get an amen to that? Yeah, what a difference Jesus makes in our lives. He makes all the difference in the world. So, it's all about grace. And really what we're talking about is all the things that God has given to us through His grace. So the free riches of His abundant grace. That's really what it is. So last week, as we kind of introduced this series, we discussed a little bit about God's grace and we defined God's grace. Do you remember that? We defined God's grace as God's love set free. That's what I liked. I like that definition. God's love set free. He now was free to bestow His grace upon us. And we discovered, remember, it was all part of God's plan from the very beginning. Now, when we say the beginning, we mean the beginning. Like before the foundation of the earth, before time began. Remember that? It was just like, wow, God's grace for you and I, His plan of grace, was there and established before the foundation of the earth, before time even began. So before He created the world, God actually knew that He was going to save us by grace, and He knew that we were going to be the recipients of His abundant grace. Do we fully understand that today? No, I know I sure don't. But we find in the scriptures some amazing truths to ponder. Romans 8, you might want to turn there. Romans 8, 29 and 30. And some of these scriptures that we turn to, a lot of them we won't have time to turn to, but some of them we turn to, take your pencil or your pen, your highlighter, and just highlight some things. For instance, in Romans 8, 29 and 30, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Notice something. We talked about it last week, too. This is all past tense. This is not future, not even present. It is present, but it's not future tense. It's past tense that we're experiencing in the present and continues into the future. So he foreknew you and me before time began. Wow. And he predestined you and me to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's your destiny. That's my destiny. He's predestined us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And then he called you and me to be part of something he calls the church or his body. Wow. So we were predestined, called, justified, and glorified, all past tense, all in the eternal plan of God. Wow. So turn to somebody while the worship team comes up and say, you're not a mistake. I don't care what your mother said about you when she was angry. You're not a mistake. So God's love for you and me and his plan that brought you into his love literally stretches out into eternity. It's not a mistake. So with some of these things in mind, I want us to ponder those things. And what we're going to do is I've asked the worship team to sing some songs for us during this message. And as they present the song, I want you to ponder its truths in light of some of the scriptures you're going to see on the screen behind it. Now, if you're listening to this message on CD or the internet, and I know there will be many people that do that, they're not able to be a part of this time that we're here together. But that's okay, because all of the scriptures I'm going to share during the songs are all written in your notes. And I encourage you, you may want to take those notes and go through and look up those scriptures and ponder those even deeper than what we're able to this morning.
Still, will striving cease, my comforter.
how far were we from God? How great was the chasm that separated us from God? I don't think we really comprehend that distance of how far away we were from God apart from Christ, and how close we are now, and how we've been brought near to God through Christ. Ephesians 2, 18, I'm sorry, 11 and 13 say this: "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." I don't think people realize how hopeless their life is apart from Christ. I don't think they realize how without God they are in this world. But when we come to the point where we do realize our hopeless condition, we realize that we've been separated from God. We were enemies against Him, but now we've been reconciled with Christ. Wow, that we can now have a relationship. We've gained access to the very presence of God through a relationship with Christ. And that's what it says in verse 13. It says, "Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been," notice past tense again, "have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So when we think about the blood of Christ, we think about the blood of Christ cleansing us from sin, right? But the blood of Christ also has removed any and everything that separates us from God. That's why grace is God's love set free, because now He's free to gracefully, fully lavish His love upon us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So remember when Jesus was on the cross, He breathed His last, and it says that the veil in the temple was rent. It was torn from top to bottom. Why is that significant? That the writer actually puts it in there, from top to bottom. We're told historically that that veil was 4 inches thick. So like the distance of the palm of your hand, this thick veil separated the holy place from the most holy place where the presence of the Shekinah glory of God was abiding. And when Christ breathed His last and He died upon the cross, it says the veil was torn from top to bottom. No human could have torn that veil, but certainly if a human did, it would have been torn from bottom to top. But because it was torn from the top to the bottom, we see that it was a demonstration of God sending His love and His grace down, and the blood of Christ, His sacrifice, now separating that veil, separating anything and everything that would separate God's people from Himself. This was all in God's heart from the very beginning. This wasn't a new plan from God. This was His desire from the very, very beginning. This is why He sent Jesus to die for our sins. In Romans 5:10, "For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been," notice again, past tense, "having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." And again in Romans 3:24, "being justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ." So right now, how close are we to God? How close are you to God? You're just as close as Jesus is. You're just as close as Jesus is to God. You and I are that close to God. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says this: "Now all things are of God, who has," once again, past tense, this is not something we're waiting to have happen, it's already done, "who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Notice that. Through Jesus Christ. That's one of those green highlighted scripture. A lot of the ones I've been reading this morning and are on the screen are green highlighted scriptures in my Bible. Through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So that word reconciled means to change, to restore a relationship, and to remove enmity. It has the idea of speaking of reestablishing a proper and right interpersonal relationship. Think of the picture of the prodigal son as he runs into the arms of his father and he is embraced by his father. That's how close we are. That's how we've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. So, as we think about these truths, ponder them as we now have our second song. We've all heard that saying, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. And we certainly understand what the author of that saying was trying to convey, don't we? But I think if we were asked, do you have to be perfect to go to heaven? Most of us would say, well, no, because nobody's perfect. But in reality, when you really think about it, God is perfect. And could a perfect and holy God really allow anything or anyone that is imperfect to be part of his paradise, his heaven? Because if we weren't perfect, and he didn't make us perfect, then when we get to heaven, we just mess it all up again. And he doesn't want that to happen. And so he's perfect, heaven's perfect, and he has to make you and I perfect so that we can inhabit heaven with him. How is that possible? Well, our key point here is in Christ Jesus, we have his righteousness and therefore his perfection as well. The Apostle Paul spoke of this in his letter to the Colossians. He said this in Colossians 1:28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wow. That word perfect is something that Paul uses again as he writes this letter, if he wrote it, to the Hebrews. And it's written and it says this, for by one offering he, Jesus, has, once again, past tense, perfected forever those who are being saved. So how perfect is this perfection? It's forever perfect. It means you can't mess it up. Praise God for that. Amen. We are perfect. And notice it's all used in the past tense. It's not something we wait to become. It's something we already are in Christ Jesus. Let's go on. The Apostle Paul, he understood these things, and so he says this in Philippians chapter 3. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Now, if your Bible's open, and to that verse in Philippians 3, you should circle or highlight those words, to be found in him. See, that's the key to this whole thing. That's the key to all of the promises of God, all the blessings of God. It's all because we are in Christ. To be found in Christ is to now have access to all the promises of God. To be found in Christ is to be righteous. To be found in Christ is to be made perfect before God himself and all of heaven. And then Paul goes on, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So this righteousness is a gift of God, and we receive it through faith in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:10, for it says, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So there's nothing else that needs to take place. There's nothing else that God needs to do to finish our perfect salvation. There's nothing else. We're complete in him. We are right now in Christ. We are righteous in his sight. We are complete. We're made perfect, complete in the sight of God. So with these truths in mind, let's listen again to our next song.
Savior's love.
you remember Jesus told parables? And one of the parables he talked about was about a man who had found a treasure in a field. And he says the man was so filled with joy over finding that treasure that he went and sold everything he had so that he could buy the field and obtain possession of that treasure. That's the joy that filled his heart. And of course, we know that Jesus was talking about himself. And he was explaining a little bit about the joy that was to fill his heart. So, what's the treasure that would fill the heart of Christ with so much joy? We're told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He gave up everything he had, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we're told that it was you and I. It was you and I that was that treasure. That those who would believe in Christ unto eternal life, we are the treasure that he was willing to sacrifice everything for. All of the riches and the glories of heaven to come down to earth and then sacrifice his very life for us. In John 6, Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So intense was the joy of Jesus over finding this treasure, you and me, that he was willing to give up his very life, all that he has, to purchase a field we call the world or the earth in order to obtain a treasure that is you and I, his church, his very bride. Wow. The key point here is the church is the Father's gift of love to his Son. So we are his inheritance. We're his joy, it says. Paul prayed this. He said in Ephesians 1, oh, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So turn to somebody and say, you know what? God has big plans for you in eternity. Big plans for you. Hallelujah. He does. It's just begun, but he's got bigger plans yet for us. We all know that famous verse in the scriptures, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. So ponder these things as we conclude with our last song in this message.
Thank you.
Stand with me. In Christ Jesus. It's all about being in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we were crucified. Let's say that together. Crucified. We were crucified on the cross with Christ. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We died. Let's say that together. Died. It says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And we were buried with Christ through baptism. Let's say that together. Buried. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in newness of life. And we've also been raised up together to be with Christ. Let's say that together. Raised. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And now, we are right now with Christ, seated with Christ, in the heavenly places. Let's say that together. Seated with Christ. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, are you up to song number
34? 33. We'll give it a shot.
Well, you did the last song at the end of the service, last service, so I thought maybe we'll 34. Okay.
Do you want to pray first?
Nope.
All right. Do you want to pray for me first? I'm just kidding. All right. Everyone's fingers are hurting, our hands are hurting, but we can do this. Ready? Thank you.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.